I would like you to turn this morning, brethren, please, to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel, we were there last Sunday in this same book. We looked at Hannah on Mother's Day, didn't we? Last Sunday, it was Mother's Day. We looked at a woman who, the Word of God says, had shut up her womb. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They come from God. And God had, in His sovereignty, determined that she would not have children. And then in His sovereignty, she determined that she would. We studied about her prayer, her fasting, her crying out to God, and her vow to God, how she kept that vow. God gave her that man-child she prayed for. And God gave her that child, and she said, if you give me a man-child, I'll give him back to you. I'll lend him to you. And she did that after she weaned him. And he got big enough to be away from his mama. She took him to the house of God at Shiloh, the temple, tabernacle. Turned him over to Samuel. Eli, the priest, turned Samuel over to Eli. Samuel, by the way, means asked of God. She named him just what she'd been doing for so long. She named him a name that meant asked of God. And I gave you some information about that little boy, the little baby, and Hannah's song. I didn't read it. It's in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, I think. I think that's her song. You ought to read it sometime. We won't read it today, but it's wonderful. It's her praise to God for what He did for her. And then I told you that God gave her, after Samuel, gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. You see, you can't outgive God. He's so good. And then I gave you some information about Samuel becoming, after he became a man, some of the great things that he did. This little boy that was prayed for, that God gave to his mama, and then she gave him back to God. And some of the he became an awesome man, a powerful man, a bold man of God. The Word of God says that in one place that he didn't let any of the words of God fall to the ground. He did let none of God's words fall to the ground. Oh man, I wish that people could say that about me and you. You know, you can't let them fall unless you got them already. You got to have the words of God. And that's a blessing. And that's what I want to try to preach to you about today. Having the Word of God, listening to it, but then doing it, brethren. Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, we go back to Samuel's childhood now. Last week I told you about some things he did after he was grown up, but I want to back up a little in time and read to you something that you're familiar with already. You know this historical story of this little boy. You know it, but let's read it again. I want to read 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I'm going to stop reading there, brethren. It's a wonderful narrative of what went on. I hope you'll read more. Hope you'll read on. Not right this minute, but I hope you'll read on and study this. But that's all we're going to... I can't cover that today, but I'll try to cover some of it. Let's pray. Father, speak. Speak to us. May we be in a position, Lord, that we're ready to hear, that we want to hear. We're ready to listen, ready to do what you say. Speak, Lord God, by the Holy Spirit of God. Speak to me. Speak to all of us. May we hear and understand the Word of God. Oh God, give me words to say. Give me insight into the Scripture. Give us all insight. May it come alive to us. You made us alive by the Spirit of God. We desire, Lord, the living Word now. Come and be with us. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
There's a line, brethren, a sentence in the Bible study lesson we had today. And Brother Steve Taylor wrote this. We are to practice the thought of listening to the Spirit of God. That's one of the things he told us in our lesson. And one of the members of the class mentioned that. I was going to point it out, and someone else picked up on it. And I was going to say that I wanted to try to preach this morning about listening to God. We are to practice the thought of listening to the Spirit of God. Brother Ron, in his prayer, one of the things he said was, may we hear the Word of God today. Words to that effect. Something like that. And I feel, brethren, that God is saying to me and would have me say to you, and the Holy Spirit would say to you, listen. Listen to me. Listen to the Word of God. We talked about Samuel last week. I tried to preach to you about this young child and how his mom prayed for him, and God heard and granted her petition, and the other wife went every year to Jerusalem, and Eli saw her there. Eli's the priest, Samuel's the child. If I get them backwards, bear with me. But Eli saw her praying, thought she was under the influence of some intoxicant. He got on to her, and she said, oh no, I'm praying for a child. I'm barren. I'm praying for a child. And he realized he'd made a mistake. Preachers make mistakes. If you didn't know that, I know you know it. But bear with me, please. And then, rather than admonishing her, he blessed her. And he said, God grant your petition. May God do that. And sure enough, God did. And she had the baby. And she kept him at home until she weaned him. And then she kept her vow. She took him back. And now, brethren, we jump to a few years later. We don't know how much later, but this little boy is in the temple at Shiloh. The temple is at Shiloh at this time. And it's the tabernacle, as I understand it. It's not Solomon's temple. It hadn't been built yet. It's that temple that God designed in the book of Exodus. It's there, and the priest is there. And his name is Eli, and other priests are there, I'm sure. But this little boy ministers in the temple, and his name is Samuel. And you know him now. You know some of his history. And brethren, I just want to take these verses 1 through 10 and say a few words about each one. Samuel is ministering to the Lord before Eli, before the priest in that temple at Shiloh. Samuel, how old was he? We're not told. No one knows. But there was a There's a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus who says he was 12 years old at this time. I don't know how he knows. Scripture doesn't tell us, and I don't question that. And I would guess to you, I would suggest to you that that's probably accurate, or pretty accurate. If someone is to know how old he was, he would have told us. He says he's a child. And what, brethren, you should know and I should know is this. Your children and my children need to be in the temple. They need to be in the house of God. They need to be learning about the things of God even before they know God. Because we're told here, Samuel didn't know God at this point in time. Oh, he knew who God was and he knew some of the law and he knew what they did around the temple. There's a little girl back there near the back pew. I don't know how much she knows about God, but her mama has her here, brethren, in the temple. And she knows there's a man up here yelling about God. She knows that much. She knows that. And I bet you she knows Jesus loves me. And she knows to pray. I've heard her pray. But she's where she needs to be, brethren. And there's two sitting beside her, near her, that need to be in the house of God, especially. So there's that lesson about the child Samuel being in the house of God. And maybe he was 12 and maybe he was older or younger, but I think he was around that. I know he was big enough, brethren, to open and shut the door to the temple every day. That was part of his job. And maybe to light the candle and keep it burning in the holy place at nighttime. Because God tells us about that. Okay, he's there. Now the rest of verse 1. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. What that means, brethren, as I understand it, is this. God speaking to the people was rare in those days. You come here every Sunday, and God willing, God speaks to you. But you know what I said about 2 years ago? I saw a sign that said something like, working out spiritually once a week won't get you in shape. Once a week. You need it more often. I didn't say it just like the sign said. But, you know, I need to work out every day. I thought the cardiologist might ask me, was I working out? He didn't, and I'm glad he didn't, because I would have had to say, no, sir, I'm not. I'm not doing what I need to be doing. But brethren, we need to work out physically. We need to work out spiritually every day. The Word of God was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There was God revealed Himself and spoke rarely. That's what made it so precious. This right here on my finger, brethren, this right here, this is gold right here. I don't have a lot of it. I don't have a lot of gold because it's expensive. And tell you the truth, I don't want rings all of it. This is plenty for me, but some people like more, some people maybe like less. But it's precious, brethren, because it's rare. That's what makes things precious. And in this day that we're reading about in history here, the God's revelation, God's prophecy, God speaking to His people was rare. And you know what? You know one reason I believe, brethren, that God's speaking was rare was because people weren't listening to it. When He did speak, they didn't listen like they ought to. I thought when I was studying this, brethren, right here, let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. How many Bibles do you have in your house? How many do you have? I don't know the answer to that, but I've got a bunch of them, and I bet you do too. But how do you read it all the time, or do you rarely read it? Is it rare? Is it rare that you crack it open and read it? You know, I'm a preacher, and I should be reading it. And I do read it almost every day. And I've got my assignment to read. And some days I don't, and I get behind. I get behind 2 days, and then I have to sit down and have to read a long time. But if I keep up with it, brethren, and then I told you, some days I get so excited I just read ahead. Just the way the Word of God is, it's deciding, brethren. But ask yourself, is it rare to you to read the Word of God? Is it, you know, okay. All right, next verse. And it came to pass at that time, this is what happened. Samuel's working at the temple. God's scarce. He appears scarcely with His people. And this is what happens, brethren. It came to pass at that time, Eli, there's a day that rolls around and the evening comes. And Eli, the priest, he goes and lays down. It's bedtime. He goes to bed.
His eyes begin to wax dim. He cannot see. Sister Jane's eyes been waxing dim. She's getting them brightened up. They didn't have cataract surgery in that day. Maybe Eli had cataracts. I don't know. But he had a physical condition. He couldn't see too good. And you know what someone else said about Eli, brethren? It said that the Bible says that he had two sons that were ungodly. And he didn't stand up against them. And so his spiritual insight began to dim. And you know what, brethren? When you and I don't practice what the Word of God, we know to be the Word of God and the will of God and the guiding of God, our eyes will get dim too to it, brethren. They will. I know for a fact that there are things that I know in the Word of God and I don't put them into practice and time goes on and they get dim to me. And by the merciful grace of God, sometimes I'll read them and the light comes on again. And I say, thank you, Lord. I'm ashamed I haven't followed your word like I should. And that's a spiritualization of that last phrase there. His eyes begin to wax dim that he could not see. I believe that it specifically means physically, but it also can mean that, what I just said. And ere, that means before. Before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Understand that, brethren, that there were candles in the holy place, not the holy of holies, but in the holy place that would be lighted to give light and they would burn all night and maybe toward daylight they would go out. But this night, before the lamp of God went out, sometime in the night, where the ark of the Lord, the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. Samuel and Eli, both on the bed. We don't know where in relation to the temple they were. The experts say that there were rooms attached to this temple tabernacle and the priest stayed there. We don't know. It probably be changed over time. Some stayed this place, some that. Some didn't stay, some did. But anyways, we know Eli was close to the temple and Samuel was in a different room. We know that. They're both laid down to sleep. This is what happens, brethren. Verse 4. The Lord called Samuel. God, brethren, is about to move. He's about to do something. It's not going to be a normal, well, go to bed. Okay, we'll half-hearted serve the Lord. Okay, let's go to bed. Let's get up tomorrow. Do it all over again. God's about to do something, brethren. He calls Samuel. He calls him by name. And I didn't know this or didn't realize this until I studied it this time. My Bible says I preached to you on this on May the 6th, 2018. So here I am again trying it. So I saw this in some outside reading, and I think it's correct, that God called to Samuel from the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Lord was. He called out from in there. Because, brethren, the Word of God, I know this, God's Word tells us that He dwells between the cherubims, which were on top of the mercy seat, which was on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. That's when it stayed in the Holy of Holies. And that voice, I believe it was an audible voice that came from the Holy of Holies. Samuel, he calls out to the little boy. And the little boy hears him. He's in another room. He can't go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest can go there. But he can hear because it's curtains, brethren. He hears it. And he gets up and he says, here I am. He calls out. Apparently he says, I'm coming before he gets there, before he gets to Eli. He says, here I am, verse 4. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. You call me. Here I am. And Eli says, I called not. And he told the truth, didn't he? He didn't call. He didn't call him. God called him. Lie down again, son. Go back to bed. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. That says there, God called Samuel again. And it could mean he called out Samuel. He called out the word. I think he did. I'm not sure what strict meaning of it in verse 6, but he called Samuel again. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Now verse 7, brethren, watch this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I said earlier, just a few minutes ago, I was talking about a little child back there. She knows the Lord. And I believe Samuel
had a head knowledge of the Lord. He knew probably some of the law. It was probably read in the temple. He knew maybe the meaning of some of the furnishings of the temple and maybe what they stood for. Maybe he knew people came there to worship God. So brethren, an important thing to me is we need to have children and grandchildren in the Church of Jesus Christ, because before I was born again, I could quote you some scripture. I may not know exactly what it meant, but I could quote you some scripture. And I knew you took up the collection on Sunday. And I knew we sang songs. I knew about those things. And I knew that people would come to church and sometimes they would talk and they'd start crying. And they'd talk about how sorry they were for their sins. Even though I wasn't really sorry for my own, I could see somebody, a man, an old man there, standing up and saying, I'm just a poor sinner. I'm ashamed of myself. And I said, that means something, but I don't know exactly what it means, but it means something, because this man's upset, because men don't usually cry, especially in front of people. I would see that, brethren, and I needed to see that, and our children need to see that. And Samuel had seen some of that, I believe. And while he didn't know inside and out all the things of God, he knew some things of God. God had not revealed himself to Samuel yet. But brethren, he's revealing himself now. He's about to. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. Three times, brethren, it happened. And now Eli gets it this time. He perceives. Look, and Eli perceived. To perceive, brethren. You know what I did the other day? I told you this. I did it again the other day. Pull right out in front of somebody. I looked, and I know my brain saw that, and my eyes saw that car, but I didn't perceive it, you see. And I pulled out, and I looked in my mirror, and I said, Where'd he come from? He's right on my bumper. Where'd he come from? I didn't perceive it, brethren. And so Eli, brethren, the first two times, he's the little boys come in and said, Yes, sir, what do you need? And he says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Now, the third time, brethren, he gets it. He perceives that the Lord had called the child. Eli says, God's doing something here. God's in the process of doing something. So Eli says to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls again, say this, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And that's the title of this lesson today, brethren. I have it written here under my text here. Speak, for thy servant heareth. That's what I want to talk to you mostly about. So Samuel went and lay down in this place, in his place, verse 9. Verse 10. And the Lord came. Now, the first few times it doesn't say that, does it? I believe the Lord, brethren, and I believe it's the pre-incarnate Christ. I believe that. Whether you do or not is up to you. But it's God in the form of man, I believe, or maybe sometimes he's called an angel. The Lord came. He came from inside that holiest of holies, I believe, and he stands by that little boy's bed. The Lord came. That's my interpretation. It may or may not be yours or accurate. And stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Now, brethren, what the Lord told Samuel, and that's important, but for this morning, the main thing I want to preach about is, Speak, for thy servant heareth. But what the Lord said to Samuel is what he had said not long before that to Eli. He said, Eli, a man of God came to Eli and said, You've got two sons, and they're worthless. They're worse than worthless. They're ungodly. They're doing ungodly things. And you haven't reined them in. And I'm about to cut them off, and I'm going to cut you off. And it's over for you, Eli. And so what the Lord says to Samuel is essentially that. You can read the subsequent verses, and he tells him those things. And then continuing on the next morning, guess what Eli wanted to know? Wouldn't you want to know what God tell you last night? Yeah, he's not speaking to me, but I know he's talking to him. So tell me what he told you. And Samuel told him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." That's a good response. I mean, what else can you say? I owe it. He owes it to me. I've earned it. I've messed up. So let him do. Let him do what he will do. Let God do what he will. He's going to do it anyway. Might as well say, let it be. Thy will be done. Okay, now, you can read that. You can continue on and read that after the sermon this morning, God willing. But let me now just close with this, brethren, or concentrate on this. This is what the little boy said. Speak, for thy servant heareth. I want to just end with these, some comments on this. We sang a hymn, Sister Jane picked out. The opening hymn was, "Come, Holy Spirit, I need you." That's very similar, brethren, to speak, because I'm listening. It's very similar. Come. We're asking God's presence here. We're asking Him to come and help us. And Samuel said, "Speak." I took my son to the doctor one time. I don't know if I've told you this. Forgive me if I have. He was a teenager, and my youngest son, and he's kind of slow to speak. He can talk when he gets wound, gets going, but he was at the doctor, and he was a little scared. He had hurt his leg, and I took him to this orthopedist, and the doctor was asking him questions about his leg, and he was not answering. I don't know. He was scared, I think, and I didn't really know how to answer the guy. And finally, the orthopedist just looked at him and said, "Speak." Like you say to a dog, "Speak. You tell me something." Because the doctor, brethren, couldn't do his job unless he was trying to do his job, and my son was not helping him, not giving him information on his history of his leg. And he said, "Speak." And he kind of laughed about it. But brethren, the doctor wanted the boy to speak, to give him some information. I used to, my children would, we'd find something broken in the house. None of them, and I didn't break it, and I figured my wife didn't, but I figured the kids did. So I'd say, come in here. What happened here? Dead silence, right? No words. And so I'd line them up. I'd say, "All right, I'm going to have to find out. Who did it? What happened?" Just dead silence. And I wanted to say, "Speak, tell me." Of course, they wouldn't. But I wanted them to speak. I wanted information. Brethren, Samuel says to God, "Speak." And in saying that, brethren, he's saying, "I want to hear what you have to say, God. I want to hear you. I want to hear one thing, your voice. I want to hear it. You are the authority. You have all wisdom and knowledge. You know everything. So tell me something. Tell me. Speak, Lord. I want to know it's you talking, and I want to know the content of what you're going to say. Speak, Lord." How many times, brethren, every time does a preacher, when he's trying to preach or about to get ready to or thinking about meditating, he says, "Lord, speak to me. Give me words to say. Give me something to say that's honoring to God and edifying to the people. Speak." For, F-O-R, the word. That means because. God, speak because your servant heareth. Speak because I'm listening. Speak, Lord, because thy. What does thy mean? I belong to you. I'm yours. Thy servant. I belong to you. You made me. You created me. You own me. I am your servant. Speak for thy servant. Servant. I didn't look up the word servant in my Hebrew dictionary, but I know in the New Testament when it says servant, it means slave. Slave. And I would suggest that's probably what it means here. A good another word for that, your servant. You're the boss, you're the master, I'm the slave, I'm ready to hear your instructions. You are Lord and Master. You own me. I'm here to serve you. So speak because your servant heareth. That's one of the most important words. There's just about four of them, maybe four of them, one, five words. But that's that, brethren. That's important. I've told you before, I used to, my oldest son, he was ADD and still is. and you could say something to him, and it just, I mean, it was like you never said it. And I would get him, and I'd get his face in my hands. I'd say, listen to Daddy, listen to me. And I'd keep saying that until he was ready to focus in. And he could focus in when you did that, but most of the time not. But I wanted him to listen to, I wanted him to hear. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm listening. You have my attention. I will hear what you're saying. Brethren, sometimes Jan and I watch a movie. And I've never told her this, but sometimes she'll talk to me during the movie. And I want to say, stop, I want to hear every word. We put the captions on. She puts the captions on because I can't hear really well. And I don't want to miss a word. I don't want to miss a single word in it. That's me. I'm just odd like that. But sometimes she'll say, now, why did he do that? Or what's happening? Or do you want a snack? And I just want to say, wait, stop it. Back it up. I think I missed a word. I missed a phrase. Some people, it doesn't bother, does it? Doesn't you ladies? A lot of you ladies are laughing, smiling, but it does me. But when you're saying something, and you can tell the person you're talking to is not listening, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It is. You know what I have to say, not standing here, is not all that important most of the time. But this is pretty important, just because I happen to be the preacher, and I'm trying to preach, but so I say it's important. But catch me tomorrow somewhere, and I wouldn't say that about what I'm trying to say to you necessarily. But brethren, Samuel, I mean Eli had the wisdom to say to that little boy, "This is what you need to say to the Lord if He calls you again. Speak, because I'm listening. I'm ready to hear." I'm ready to hear. And so, brethren, too often, I believe God doesn't speak to us because we're not listening. The Word of God was precious in those days. There was no open vision. We're in the time here of the judges, and there aren't many. And God doesn't speak very often. And I think it's because, and you can read, that they've been disobedient to God and they're not doing what God says. So why should He? Why should He speak? They're not listening. So the lesson, brethren, is this, about this. Listen to God. Brother Steve said it in the Bible study lesson this morning. Brother Ron said it in his prayer, that we need to listen to God. We're asking God to speak to us. Why should He if we're not going to listen and obey and do what He's saying? Here's how, brethren, to hear God. What was Samuel doing when he heard God calling his name? He was lying down. You don't have to necessarily lie down. But he was in a place by himself, and others can be around if they want to, but you need to be in a quiet place, and I do, to listen to God. We need to be figuratively lying down or sitting down quietly listening. We need to be quietly waiting. We need to listen for God to speak, to hear His voice. We need to pray that God say, speak to your servant. We need to have the servant mindset, brethren, that God, I'm ready to do what you tell me to do, whatever it is. If you say, God, tell me what to do, but you already got your mind made up. We were talking this morning before church about pastors moving around. Church down the road is called another pastor. Church over here is called another pastor. And I think they're coming. I've heard that. I don't know. But brethren, if the pastor says, okay, I'm going there. Now I'm going to pray about it. That's he's got the cart before the horse. Pray about it. And if the pastor says, and this is just one example, but if I say to God, okay, or if I say to myself, this is what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to pray to God, but I'm going to do it anyway. Wrong. God's probably not going to speak at all to me. But if I will quietly wait on God and seek Him, seek His presence, and say, Lord, speak, because I will do whatever you tell me to do. If you say go, I'm going to go. If you say stay, I'm going to stay. I'm going to do it, Lord. He will speak. Speak, for thy servant heareth. The Word of God, brethren, is most precious. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, if you'll use it. If you'll use it. And God will direct you. The little boy Samuel, as I said last week, he grew up to be an awesome man, a wonderful, powerful man. Samuel did. And this was his start right here in his early days. Samuel grew, verse 19 in this same chapter, and the Lord was with him. Do you know why the Lord was with him, brethren? Because it was God's sovereign will to be with him, bottom line. But he was with him because Samuel listened to God, brethren. He sought his presence, and he did what God said. And did let none of his words, God's words, fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, that means all of them, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. God started showing up, brethren, again. Because there was a man there that was listening to God and doing what he said. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Oh, brethren, God will do much the same for you and me if we will do what Samuel did. Oh, Father in heaven, there's so many voices speaking to us so loudly, clamoring all around us. Satan, the world, our own lust pulling at us, whispering in our ear, shouting at us, oh, Lord, may we do what we need to do to tune all those out and be still and listen to you and honestly say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Oh God, direct us. Bless us to know that's important to do, Lord, to listen to you and do what you call us to do. And know we'll be blessed by it and you'll be honored and glorified. In the name of Jesus, give us grace to do that, we pray. Amen.